You don't have a Flow Hockey subscription? Come on, man.
No, don't worry. I still can't tell you whether you guys are Hockey East or ECAC. It's Eastern Hockey, and we just don't care out west, so it's all good.
That's
That's
just
just
you,
you,
Rob.
Rob.
Yeah, I know.
Tech Hockey Guide presents the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA with your host, Tim Brown, Rob Gilreath, Dustin Lindstrom, and Matt Cavender.
Welcome to episode 50 of season 5 of the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide and recorded from the state of hockey. I'm Tim Brown, your host, and I'm joined this week by Dustin Lindstrom.
Hey, everyone.
And Rob Gilreath.
Hey, guys.
With the NCAA tournament upon us and Michigan Tech headed to Providence to face the number one overall seed Boston College Eagles, we reached out to the crew at ContiCast. Thanks for joining us, Anthony and Brennan.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it. Happy to
yeah,
be
absolutely.
Here.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. This week, we'll get to hear about BC season and get a sense of what MTU can expect, since I think we've only ever faced any of the BC players when they were on the the under 18 national team and they kicked our ass.
You guys play them this season?
We played them when like your top
year,
line was on.
Yeah.
Last year we lost like 6-2, I think, on the road we played them
in
because
Plymouth?
We were flying somewhere. Like, so they just went down there, played a game, and then flew somewhere else for the week, I think is what it was. And we'll get a sense of what MTU can expect, plus overall preview of the tournament and the Providence Regional as a whole. Anything else you want to talk about, guys?
Sounds good.
I think we'll start from there. And okay. We want to know a little bit about Michigan Tech, too, because, you know, we haven't watched too much CCHA hockey, but.
You don't have a Flow Hockey subscription? Come on, man.
No, don't worry. I still can't tell you whether you guys are Hockey East or ECAC. It's Eastern Hockey, and we just don't care out west, so it's all good.
That's just you, Rob.
Yeah, I know.
You're just stuck in the conferences as your dad taught you them in the 80s. So,
well, you guys, I'm going to go with you're not an Ivy, so it must be Hockey East, right? That's usually my throw dart.
Yeah. Or it's not a tiny school or an Ivy League, so it must be Hockey East, right?
It must be Hockey East. Yeah, that's how I usually start out, and it's right about half the time.
All right. We'll be right back with the guys from ContiCast after a little thank you notes and a brief note from our sponsors. Are you in the market for insurance? Have your rates for home, auto, boat, or more been increasing way beyond inflation? If so, maybe it's time you spoke with Aaron Pietola and the team at Arcadia Insurance Group, serving Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and more. Who better to serve you than a former Michigan Tech player? For more information, call 866-511-1069 or go to arcadiaagency.com.
Fibke Dental is a general dentistry practice located in downtown Rhinelander, Wisconsin, home of the Hodag. Look online at FibkeDental.com or find them on Facebook. They do pain-free dentistry for kids, adults, people that went to great schools, and people that ended up at Northern Michigan. Stop in and say hi between 8 and 5 and tell them THG sent you. That is FibkeDental.com.
All right. Welcome back. Brennan and Anthony, tell us a little bit about BC. We know they're pretty dang good when you outscore your opponents. What was it, 14-3 in your neutral site conference tournament Final Four against the number 2 and number 5 seeds in this tournament, right? Or no, what was UMass?
UMass was 5. Oh well, in pairwise
overall, they're like
In pairwise, they're like they ended up at 13.
13. Yeah. 13, yeah. So 13. Like, two teams that still qualified. You kick the crap out of them. So tell us what's going on with BC.
Anthony, you start.
Yeah, I was just telling this to Brendan today. We were in class. I just think it was like one of the best weekends in BC hockey history in terms of like a fan's perspective, I think. Especially that championship game with Will Smith there scoring the first goal as a freshman, or the first hat trick as a freshman, first 4-goal game as a freshman, and then first 5-point game as a freshman in the Hockey's championship game there. So pretty great weekend if you're a BC fan, and a lot more to come, hopefully.
Yeah, just to add a little bit, you know, it's a fun environment. Is oh, well, quick question: is the CCHA tournament, is that at home sites or neutral?
It
sites?
Is, yeah.
Uh-oh. Yep. It's so they play yep. best of three first round at home sites. Then the next weekend they play single elimination semifinals at home sites of the top two seeds left, and then the championship game was held on Friday this year, which was kind of cool. To be a little bit bigger deal when everybody else was still doing semifinals or not playing.
Yeah.
But that was at a home site as well. So Michigan Tech was home and then had to go to Bemidji this weekend.
Yeah. Just to continue a little bit. Yeah, it's a special year for BC, especially to be a BC student. Yeah. Anthony mentioned we're actually both in a sporting rhetorics class, and I'm the TA. So we talk about BC hockey every so often in class because I have that power. And it's relevant, and it's relevant too. And I think that it's like this year, there's such a positive aura around BC hockey that like people are happy to go to the games. Last year, Anthony and I could get there 10 minutes before the game and sit front row because no one was there. Now it's like, if you want front row, you got to come like, you know, 2.5, 3 hours before the game to like, you know, be first like 20, 30 in line if you want to. Yeah. So it's like a special feeling to have a team that like people actually care about. And, you know, knowing some of the guys through the podcast and just through, you know, being students with them, like it's a special feeling for them too. I'm sure I can get into that a little bit more later, but yeah, it's a special season to be a BC fan.
Well, from a student perspective, how do you guys handle tickets then for like your student section? Is it, you know, a line up and queue up and get in, or, you know, everybody gets in if they go, or do you got to have tickets? What do you guys do?
So for, there's this thing at BC called the Gold Pass, which is like a, it's like a flat rate. It's like $215 and you get access to every football, basketball, and hockey. But in terms of hockey, Conti Forum's capacity, usually like in our experience in our first 2 years, it was like, it was never an issue. Like, you could get into the game. But I remember the Denver game when we played Denver in late or mid to late October. There were a lot of students who were turned away because we were at max capacity. But it's like there were students that got there before the game started. They were there at like probably like I know kids that got rejected at like 6:40 for a 7 o'clock game, which is crazy. Like, it's just wild to think about that much demand for college hockey. But yeah, the Gold Pass, you get tickets. And sometimes with the high priority games like BU or like Hockey East games, it's like how many games you went to. They track it like based on the ticket scans. And if you went to a certain amount of games, then you earn a ticket to the like higher quality games.
Yeah. How big of a rink is Conti? I honestly have no idea. What's the capacity?
7,884 for hockey, I think.
Okay. Yeah. That's a decent size rink then. That's, you know, bigger than like the whole town of Houghton, I'm pretty sure, but.
That's true.
The McGinnis fits, I think it's 42 something is the McGinnis's capacity. So
yeah, I think fire code is like 4266 or something.
Yeah, it's somewhere around there. But yeah, so we've had to travel a little bit. We've been, like Tim said, home series was the first one was a sweep over our first round opponent. Second series was at home as well. We didn't score a normal goal. And all the goals were ridiculous. One goal is we get one goal that's a off the head of a goalie to win the game. We get a goal that's a shootout penalty shot goal. We get a power play goal that goes off a stick, and we get a goal that, you know, has to be reviewed for kicking. So I kind of felt like we almost stumbled our way into the final, if you will, against the team that has dominated our league for the last 10 years in Mankato, right? So it's a good little bit of revenge after their head coach left to go to Wisconsin this year.
Yeah, I was telling Brennan this, like, it seems like there's like a lack of penalty shots in the Hockey East. I haven't seen like a single one, I don't think, in my 3 years at BC so far. It's really weird.
Yeah, I haven't seen many, though. Like, I don't know. Have we seen another one this year?
With the exception of going to, you know, overtime shootouts, no, I don't think I've seen one in a game called for Tech.
Tim and Rob this, but how confident were you when you heard penalty shot? Did you think we actually had a chance of scoring that? Because I was like, oh God,
no.
we're We never no. score on penalty shots.
No, no, we can't win. We can't win shootouts. Why would we take the penalty shot? We can take a right. 5-on-3.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, that was I was nervous, but then he buried it. And it was all good.
Yeah, so. It does help that you know you get to pick who does it at that point. But yeah, it was definitely weird. Yeah, it looks like you guys haven't lost since you lost to BU in the Beanpot. Semifinal?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
So how are you guys handling the fact that no team that plays in the Beanpot has ever won a national title in the year that they did not win the Beanpot?
Fine. Mostly because I think that I was that caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that. I was like, I thought it was gonna be like a interesting I mean it is an interesting stat. I think that the thing that I think about it is that like this is unlike any other team. And I think that like there's a lot of talk like in BC circles about like not even is this the best Boston College hockey team ever? Is this the best college hockey team ever? And that's like something a lot of us like talk about. And it's like, you know, it means nothing if we don't win the national championship. So I think that like it's hard to say at this point, but it's like when you have the depth and, you know, the top two lines that really just obliterate almost every other team's top two lines, even a top two line that has like Macklin Celebrini, Luke Tuck, Quinn Hudson, guys like that at BU. It's like, you know, it's a different feeling. And I think that those statistics become minutia a little bit when you put it in the greater scheme of like, this is what our team looks like right now.
Yeah. I mean, that winning streak looks pretty crazy. You were held the one goal one time in every other game. You've scored at least four. Like that's crazy to go. What is it, 12 games with averaging like 4.5 goals a game, it looks like? That's a lot.
Yeah. Question for you. So I was making the radio boards this morning, and sorry, first of all, how do you say the goalie's last name?
Pietola.
Pietola.
Okay. You're going to say that name a lot.
So there are...
Pietola. Pietola. Not Pietola. It's not Adela. It's Pietola.
Pietola. Okay. Pietola. So this...
It's not Patilla. I'll just tell you that.
It's not Patilla, yeah. It's not Pietilla, or it's not Pietilla. Yeah, there's.
We'll send you a link to one of the guys that likes our Discord is on there. He's got some recordings, and then the pregame show on the radio, they have every player say their own name.
Oh, cool!
So I'll try and cut a chunk out of one of those and send it to you guys. So
yeah, much appreciated. But my question is this so. The goalie, Pietola. I'm going to
just bad.
Pietola.
Not bad.
Your last one was good. Pietola.
All right.
Yeah.
Pietola. So the goal, there's four Pietolas on the team. He has a twin brother, a younger brother, and a cousin, correct?
Yep. Correct. Yep.
Yep. That's wild.
And they had, and we've had three other cousins on the team, of his cousins on the team.
What? Really?
More than that. More than that.
Four, I guess.
Chad, Aaron, and Blake.
Aaron, Blake. Chad, and Blake, and Phil.
And Phil.
And that Phil was the first one. But I'm not sure.
Yes, there's been two Blakes.
I think Phil's a distant cousin, not close cousin.
Yeah. Wow. But they are all cousins, I'm almost positive.
Yeah.
Or they're all related in some way. Yeah, they're all of a group that has very large families.
Yeah.
So I know folks that have hundreds of cousins from that group, right? They'll have 10 kid families, really common. And apparently there's a couple of the families that are really, really good at hockey.
Isn't
that so? They come back home to Tech where their grandpa lives and is from, and they do well for us.
did I hear right that Joey Larson at Michigan State is also their cousin?
I don't know that.
I think
I'm
so.
Not sure there.
I thought I heard that.
I thought I heard that somewhere too, and I kind of let it slip by and it stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I'm not sure of.
I thought so. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of them. The first Blake Pietola made the NHL for the Devils for a little bit, and played on the, what would have that been, the 2016 gold medal?
Yeah,
team,
so he was one of the gold medal World Junior teams. He played on that.
2015, maybe?
When did we win the GLI for the first time? 2012.
I feel like it's farther back than
I think it's 2012.
Not much. Yeah, about 10 years ago.
2012, yeah. 2012.
Yep.
That was a good one.
So, yeah, there's a lot of them. And there's more of them that are without the last name that are cousins too. So, Hallinen, Hanenin, there's a bunch. And if it's got a Finnish name to it, chances are they might be distantly related at some point. you can kind of assume that.
And there was a season when there were three of them on the team. And I'm guessing, just for fun, the pronunciation guide had all three of them pronouncing their last names differently.
Just for fun. They different clans have different ways of pronouncing it.
Correct.
But what happened that year was Grandpa called Dirk and said, "It's Pietila. Don't say it like that. They're in Houghton. That's how you say it here." That's what happened.
Okay. An interesting connection, Rob. A pretty big majority of the money that funded all the mining.
Yeah, that's why we're on Eastern Time Zone. It's your Boston people's fault.
It's all the mining companies were all funded and owned out of Boston.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of the money came from Boston that funded the copper mines in the 1830s through 1800s or late 1800s.
That's why we all have to watch Tech at 6 o'clock on a Friday night.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It is the farthest west up you can get in the Eastern Time Zone. My home, where I'm at now in Wisconsin, is Central Time, and it's farther to the east than we are in Houghton.
Yeah.
Even though we're central and they're eastern up there.
Wow. Interesting.
But yeah, like Boston so money. Stuff. Boston money is what built the copper country. So yeah. There's fun little connections there for you. But yeah, that Finnish ancestry is huge around the area. And a lot of the folks that are coming back, there's that family connection for a lot of it. And that's what you're seeing with the Pietilas, and more and more of them keep showing up, and they're really good hockey players.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember we had two Finnish brothers. I think it was in the 2020 season, the 2021 season, the Matsilas.
Okay.
It was Julius at forward and then Jesper at Dees. And one of them was, I think, played in Liga in Finland there. One of them was really good. Got over 100 points for us, one cumulative.
Yeah, that's not too shabby. We've got four Finlanders on the team as well. So there's four guys that are actually from Finland on the team too. The backup goalie, a defender, and a couple of forwards. Right, I'm getting all three of them right. Koskiperti is a forward.
Raymond's
a forward. Vaharatio is a defenseman, and then Veronen is a goalie. So four Finlanders. There's one of the captains is a Swede. So we've got a little bit of an international contingent.
Yeah, we've got an Australian. Besides, don't forget him.
We've got an Aussie as well. Yep.
Wow.
We don't have to talk about the beginning of the year. We had a guy from the Baltics as well, but we can just skate over that bit of fun.
Yep.
And not go into that little controversy around his leaving the team. We've got a little bit of a Euro contingent, which is relatively new for Tech recruiting in Europe. It's been mostly, Canadian folks out of BC and the Western Canadian leagues has been our kind of our home ground for recruits for a long time. Mm-hmm. So it's been interesting to see it shift toward the European folks the last few years.
Cool. Quick question.
Yeah, fire away.
Go for it.
So you guys got one draft pick. Tell me about him. Number 9, Kukkonen. Did I say that right?
Nope.
No, you did not.
All right. What's his name?
So with Kukkonen. Finnish, you just got to pronounce all the letters and kind of roll with it. It's Kukkonen, yeah.
Kukkonen, okay.
He is just coming back from injury. He just came back and played his first game in, what, maybe a month, month and a half, Tim, right?
He's been out since St. Thomas of January.
It's been longer? Okay. Yeah, so he's been out for a real long time.
Middle of January. So he's basically out over 2 months.
Yep. Had a hell of a freshman year. He was on fire last year at the end of the year. This year has been a bit of a sophomore slump for him. I don't know. Does he have a goal yet or not?
Yep. He scored a goal in the St. Thomas series and then got injured the next night.
Yeah. So he's only got, I think, one goal for the whole year. But he's had a bunch of assists. And he's one of the higher skilled players on the team. But he's been out hurt for a long time. But he is back now, and I would expect him. We have no inside knowledge of the team whatsoever, right? We're a bunch of alumni that live miles and miles away. But I'd expect him to play this weekend for sure, if he's healthy enough to do so.
Awesome.
Cool. Who's this kid with, 33 points, Ryland Mosley?
He is a senior who has done well as well for us this year. He's been one of the drivers of the top line, keeps the line moving, keeps the guys motivated. And just a fantastic all-around guy. You'll see him pressure on the forecheck quite a bit. He's a name you guys will see often. Cool. I would expect on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's from the CCHL in Ontario. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, there's some diamonds in the rough up there sometimes.
Yeah, we've had a couple of them lately. We brought him in, and then his former teammate Brett Thorne was our captain last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And played very strong defense for 3 years and served us well till almost till the end, I guess I could say, and we'll just leave it at that. So
yeah. Jack McBain for BC played in the CCHL back in 2 years ago. He's on the Coyotes now. I don't know if you know him, but
yep.
The Toronto Junior Canadians. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get some good ones from Junior A, like Devin Levi, another one, mm-hmm. Northeastern.
Yeah, that's the goalie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only reason I know about him is, you know, the whole talking about the Hobie and or the whatever the goalie award was last year with Blake, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of talk with him and Levi and whoever was the other finalist there that were in that.
Mm.
I think, you know, the whole eight, whenever it's decided, but the 8 goals in Penn State doesn't help your cause for that award.
Well, it was voted on before that. So
Yeah, I think it is. But yeah, it'd look a little bit weird to hand the goalie award to someone who just got 8 put up on him.
Yeah.
That is one of the interesting things is the different timing of when votes are final on some of that stuff, because that kind of causes some of the discrepancies where somebody can be like the Hobie Baker finalist as a goalie, but not make like the final 3 goalies because they voted at different times and it was that close. But yeah.
And the Hobie Baker curse is very much real with no title winners with the last however many Hobie winners.
Yeah, 10. It's over 10. I actually think Johnny Gaudreau was the last Hobie winner to also win the national championship.
No, he didn't even win it.
Wait, what?
No.
Oh, then it must be before him.
No.
Oh, then.
Yeah, I don't know who the last one was to have won both that and the title.
But any other questions for us about BC?
Well, what can we expect? I mean, we know you guys got the young lines of fire, but that's the top couple lines, right? Do you guys see... Is there, you know, third line, fourth line that's also filling in? Do you guys roll all 4 lines all night, or
you can do that? One guy we talked to on the pod back in January, Jack Malone, 6th round pick and by the Canucks in 2019, grad student now, went to Cornell for 3 seasons of hockey. He's a really good 200-foot player. He's a guy who'll play like 20+ minutes a game, I think. Great on the face-off circle, penalty kill, and he's just been there for us all year. Especially in that UConn game in the quarterfinals of the Hockey East, when the top 6 wasn't performing as well, he stepped up and got 3 points. So, yeah, look out for him on the bottom 6, and then the penalty kill has been good too. So we try to do 4 lines the best we can.
Yeah, you guys have frightening penalty kill and power play. I think you're what, 1st and 2nd, or something like that from that perspective.
Yeah.
It's the stats are frightening. I mean, like I said, we're going into with realistic expectations, right? From our side.
Yeah. Another thing about Jack Malone, like we take credit a little bit for this. Before the podcast, Jack Malone, before he came on our podcast, he had 1 goal, and that was in what, mid-January, Anthony? Mid-late January when he came on?
He had like 2 or 3.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I'll give him more credit than that. He had 2 or 3 goals. Since then he's had 8, so... We're gonna call that the Conte cast effect. That's what I've been calling. But yeah, sure. I would agree. I think the bottom 6 doesn't get a lot of credit. Jamie Armstrong is a grad transfer from BU, which, you know, didn't go over well with a lot of BU players. He played at BU for 4 years, transferred to BC. He got a nasty hit thrown at him at the end of the game. But yeah, he's played, this is his 5th year of hockey. Colby Ambrosio, who's a good friend of ours, he, this is his 4th year of hockey. He's a Colorado draft pick from 2020. And honestly, I think another thing is, in a lot of ways, there are, you know, some, actually, I mean, I won't give us that much credit, but I think our defensemen can score at least at an average level. I wouldn't say at like a Lane Hutson level, but at a level that's like, you know, they're competent enough to like get a goal every other game, I would say.
Yeah, I'm just looking at your guys' stat line and the numbers are ridiculous.
Are you guys...
for some of those guys.
Are you guys usually dressing an extra D or forward?
Extra D.
Extra D?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we've... We have not dressed an extra forward this entire year.
Okay. And obviously our goalie's been great. Fowler's been awesome. Whenever like there's a little lull in the game. I noticed this in the championship game. There's kind of some a flat point, and then he made a couple big saves, kind of galvanized the entire team. Crowd went nuts, and then they pushed for the insurance goal there. So yeah, he's awesome too.
Rob, Dustin, did you notice anybody on the roster that we recognized from last year?
I didn't look at the roster.
Level of detail. Let me take a peek. See if I can pick up who you're.
I will talking Google about it. Here.
I'm looking at Instat, so I was trying to look at minutes and stuff because it does look like they're the very bottom. It looks like maybe like the fourth line. Somebody doesn't play every shift, and somebody gets double shifted. But the other two guys look like they get pretty regular minutes. So,
No, nothing's jumping out at me right away. Who are you thinking about?
Number 15, Jacob Bankston, played at Lake State for 3 years.
Oh, that yeah, correct. That's right. He was there. That's right.
I also wondered if Charlie Letty was related to somebody else, but apparently not.
Not if he's from Connecticut.
Nope. Saw that. I was like, well, I guess he's not related then.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at, I'm just popping it on my phone because I don't have my computer that I normally have. You know, the general player stats, you guys have, what, 50, 60% of the top everybody. It's honestly rather absurd and again terrifying.
Yeah. How many guys do we have scoring a point per game? None.
Top five in the country for goals, two of them are BC players. Top five goals per game, two BC players. Top two for assists, two different BC players. Points, three BC guys, right? I mean, points per game, three BC guys. So it's a frightening hill for Tech to have to try to climb.
I feel like I tried to warn you about this oh, no, on Friday night, Rob.
I'm aware. I didn't realize the actual numbers were this crazy, though, I guess is what it gets to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but we saw, like, I don't want to, like, jinx anything, but, like, the Boston Bruins last year were a phenomenal team, and all it takes is one slip up and when it matters the most, and down you go.
Yeah.
So I think there's something to say for a team that, like, in the context of March Madness now with basketball, it's almost going the game with house money.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a good game to watch, like, regardless. So that's what's great about single elimination.
Yeah, it makes for – it's my favorite tournament. I mean, I know the basketball is bigger and all, but I'm much more of a hockey fan than I am a basketball fan.
Us yeah, too. Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm out in Utah for work. My brother and I have decided that we're just going to preemptively take off Thursday, Friday, and Monday for regional weekend every year from now on so we don't end up in this situation. And if we can't chase the team we want to watch, we're just going to pick wherever, you know, a cheap flight or an easy drive is and go watch anyways because there's always tickets available.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun. I wouldn't be going to Rhode Island, hopefully. I mean, like I said, work's going to dictate it, but I wouldn't be going to Providence for anything. I don't have a reason to ever get there, right? And it's just fun to be around town and walk around in a jersey and BS hockey with people. That's what makes regionals fun.
It's just not a nice town.
Hey, no? I like Providence. So the town I'm from in Massachusetts is like closer to Providence than Boston. So it's like, I mean, it's not a huge difference, but like, I don't know. I like Providence. And I think like, I mean, it used to be called the Dunkin' Donuts Center. Now it's the Amica Bank Pavilion. People used to call it the Dunk. It was awesome to watch like Providence basketball games there. But it's a nice arena and they refurbed it and it's big. So it's like, you know, Providence, there really isn't much to do. Maybe Federal Hill, which is, wait, you guys are not going to the regional or are you going?
I'm going to try to, but I am currently stuck being an adult in Utah and I might not be able to make it.
Dustin's out because it's Easter and his wife will kill him. I am out at the moment because I am divorced and I have my daughter this weekend. But if you guys are extremely disappointed at about 5:30 Friday afternoon, I might find a way to convince my ex to flip a few things so I can go on Sunday. But otherwise, it's probably not happening. I think even if Dustin and I wanted to go, we'd probably still be sitting on the fence just because, like, last year was really disappointing and I don't know if I want to sit through that again. Yeah, like, I think our expectations are a lot lower, so like getting boat raced 8-0 or something wouldn't feel quite as bad, because you know BU just got crushed 6-1 or whatever the hell it was the other night. So like if the number two team lost that bad, we can't feel that bad, right? But going into that Penn State game, we kind of thought that the bracket fell the way a good way for us, and then
we kind of thought we had a chance last year, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. At least to win one game.
Yeah, and then have the pseudo revenge game against Michigan, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
That would have been fun, but all for
now. The thing is, this isn't the team for us. Is a team. This is their third year in a row going right. They've lost twice. They've lost badly once, right? So my hope is there's a chip on these guys' shoulders, and they play up to you guys as an opponent and make it a good game, right? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, anything can happen.
And I think we talked about this earlier, just among us, that I think the key for Tech is going to just be somehow play super tight defensively. Like do whatever they can to bottle them up and frustrate BC. Like, just, I don't know. I don't know how to do it against a team that skilled, because it feels like they can just burn you in, you know, in a flash, but somehow they need to figure out how to just to bottle them up. And if they can figure out how to do that, they got a chance, but it's going to be really tough.
Yeah. I think you're right though. I think that, you know, we're a team where we're really young, which means by extension, we have a lot of egos. So like some rattling definitely works. So I think that that's, you know, we look back to the Denver BC game, which is, I mean, Anthony and I have a list of our favorite BC hockey games we went to, and that we lost that game. And that's still in my top three. It was an incredible game. Denver's obviously, you know, a Titan this year, and so are we. But, you know, a lot of people blamed Cutter Gauthier at the end of that game for taking a stupid penalty by like RKOing a Denver player during a little bit of a scuffle. And that, people said, cost the game. It didn't really. There were other things that cost the game, but you know, that still haunts us a little bit, that, you know, we could have beat Denver that game because of a stupid mistake like that, a stupid penalty that was all ego and all anger. So I think stuff like that is definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I would say our number one pot stirrer, unfortunately, is injured. We have a transfer that came in from Bowling Green who is a big fan of A, having people under his skin, and B, getting under people's skin. But he's not going to be out there. I would doubt to see him back for this weekend.
Yeah, I know he's been in practice. That'd be a big surprise.
It'd be a very big surprise for us to see Swankler back. He was the CCHA preseason player of the year choice, and then transferred after
being named the preseason player of the year
for the Bowling Green.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he transferred. And there's enough out there to read about it if you want to dig into it a little bit, but some fun circumstances of his transfer. And he then got hurt relatively quickly after he came and was able to be eligible to play in the second half of the year for Tech. But he's a guy that high-skilled guy that could definitely get under skins, but he won't be there. I don't think we really have, you know, maybe except for maybe Chase Pietola. Maybe he's the kind of guy to do a little bit of that, the under-the-skin stuff. The rest of it's just hard-nosed hockey players. They're not – it's just hockey play after hockey play. There's not the ego, I wouldn't say, within the team. I don't know if I would name anybody that's heavy on that from our side. You don't get that without we have one draft pick, right? So, you know, it's a team of guys rather than a team of star or blue chip star type players, right? So you'll see a little different approach there, I think.
I just looked up the Swankler thing. Interesting. That's wild.
Yeah, there's a lot of story there. You can do some reading.
That's why.
Talk about shoes. If you go about shoes if you want. But yeah, there's a lot out there.
Yeah, if you read Tech Hockey Guide stuff from October, you will be amazed at all the junk that we won't get into here between Swankler and some other stuff. So,
do you work in manufacturing, product design, or product development? Is your business trying to improve efficiency while also producing at scale? Livonia Technical Services can help. They provide world-class quality improvement training and consulting for failure modes and effect analysis, product development, and cost reduction. All things that could help Northern Michigan assemble a competent defense. If you think your business could use a prevention mindset and reduce manufacturing costs, a partnership with Livonia Technical Services might be right for you. Check them out at livoniatech.net. That's LIVONIA tech.net.
We fund everything a Tech Hockey Guide from listeners like you. You can show your support by becoming a patron at patreon.com/techhockeyguide. Whether you're interested in question priority, access to patron-only Zoom chats with coaches and players, instat deep dives, extended versions of the podcast, unedited video or audio, early access, or commercial-free listening, there's a level for you. We also now have 15% discounts off annual memberships with tiers ranging from $2 to $50 per month. Again, sign up at patreon.com/techhockeyguide.
But yeah, you're just going to see mostly, you know, guys that are grinding it out for the most part. A couple of guys that I'd say to watch that maybe aren't top line guys or, you know, that you're not going to see big score lines for is Jack Works. Is a guy that's going to be forechecking hard all the time. And hopefully in the games we do well in, he's one of the guys that's making an impact in some way, you know, that spark plug style player out there. And then the previously mentioned Australian that we've got out as well, Tyron Bronte is really kind of, I'd say he's taken off in the last half of the year, maybe even the last quarter of the year, where he's been given in a more elevated role than what he's had the rest of the year. And we've been using the fourth line a little bit more. I mean, Tim did some stats that proved out a little bit. They jumped in their ice time a bit compared to what they've had over the year. And that fourth line of Nordstrom, was it Nordstrom, Bartle, and who else is
Richards.
On there? Richards. Yeah, those three guys are, if there needs to be just relentless forechecking, those are the guys that are going to be on the ice, you know, doing it. You'll see them chasing things down, you know, and forechecking hard. That's that fourth line there.
Yep, and our student that helps us with recruiting stuff is really excited to see Bartle finally getting some playing time. And I think Dustin and I, too, because we kind of thought he'd have a bigger role this year based on how good his junior career was. And mm-hmm. I think it just took him a little longer to make that step. I want to interrupt the podcast for a quick moment and talk about our supporters, because the funniest thing to me happened while we've been recording. One of the people who donated money on like Friday or Saturday morning saw my update to the post and decided to send another misfit to Providence. And not only that, but gave enough money to now cover the cost of the lodging too. Like, so we put the price at $300. And if somebody gives us $300, we're going to give them that. I sent a misfit to Providence and all I got was a stupid t-shirt. But the true cost is more like $330 if we exclude the money that the wonderful Todd Van Cleek is donating to buy all the tickets for all the misfits, regardless of how many games they play this weekend. So Andrew Prowant here donated an additional $360 to send two misfits to Providence and have it all covered. So pretty awesome just how crazy everybody is with all this. So
that's amazing. Seriously. I props to you guys for organizing all this. That's pretty sweet. When I saw it on the Twitter, it was like, it was one of the best things ever. I ran over and told Anthony, I was like, look at this. Like, they're raising money to like send like the misfits to like go see the game. Like, this is so cool. But yeah, I just wanted to give you guys props for that, 'cause that's just such a cool thing.
Yep. I just moved $10,000 to my checking account today.
Wow.
From Venmo. So
amazing. Seriously amazing.
And I've still got another like almost $4,000 sitting in other accounts that needs to get moved over eventually.
And have you taken a peek on maps to see how long those kids are all going to be on a bus?
It's going to be 24 hours with stops, because they have to stop every 4 hours, I guess, to switch bus drivers, and one of the bus drivers gets to sleep. Well, yeah, so they're basically leaving. The deadline to sign up is in like 3 hours or 2 hours. No, yeah, 2 hours. They're supposed to sign up by midnight Eastern. And then I think the last time I checked, we were at 66. We can take 73.
Wow. That's awesome.
Plus the pep band is like 27. So yeah, we've got that. And then I've got $15,000 total pledged. And that does not include anything that has happened since we started recording with Marco 2 hours ago. And I know Andrew came in here, and he's not the only one. I think I've gotten over $1,000 since we've been recording tonight. So
that's amazing.
Wow.
I just can't get over that. That's so special. That's so cool. Good for you guys.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun. You know, we all traveled when we were students. It's fun to, the Misfits didn't exactly exist. I don't know how much of the history you guys know, but Tim is the one that started them 20 years ago. Right.
Oh,
so,
wow. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. We just celebrated Brandon's birthday. He founded Tech Hockey Guide and then brought me in and was a Misfit from his freshman year on. And it's just kind of been cool how much, like, I went into the, so I'm on the Misfits Discord as like the old guy. I have all the channels muted. I just pop in there when I want to say something and then I run away and watch the bomb go off. But I posted in there today. Like the two big things I posted was I wrote my paragraph that I always write when these trips come up about like, nobody's going to give a shit that you got to see in thermal and fluid mechanics. They're not. So go on this trip. Unless you're failing, go on this fucking trip, because this is going to be something that you tell your kids and you talk to your college buddies about for the rest of your life. Oh, yep. I don't care if we get boat raced. You're going to talk about the shitty McDonald's you stopped at in Toledo on the way there forever. Like, you are.
The Western hockey in the Midwest is built around being in your car for a very long time with no public transit options.
I mean, we've all flown to Alaska too.
Yeah.
We've done the Alaska trips too.
Have you gone to Fairbanks, Dustin?
I haven't been to Fairbanks, but
me either.
Three times in Anchorage.
Yeah.
If you guys ever get a shot, or if your team ever goes up there, it's well worth just for the trip itself.
You think?
Wrap it around hockey. Oh, yeah. Wrap it around for hockey, and it's Fairbanks is. Not
I don't think
nice
BC is
going
to. I don't think BC is going to do a road trip to Alaska though.
Oh, they're going.
They could, because they're bringing back the opening season tournaments, I think.
Yeah,
really.
So they could go up for one of those.
Well, I could see it for a tournament like that, because
it's exempt anyway, right? Like, I could see it.
I think Anchorage came out to Providence this year. Maybe, yeah, they came out. It was Anchorage, right, Anthony? Yeah, I think it was Anchorage that played Providence this year. So
yeah.
Maybe this upcoming year they'll come to us. I mean,
one of them got blown out. I know that.
Yeah, it was Anchorage. They got smoked.
Anchorage has been rough the last few years.
Well, they didn't have a team for a year or two.
Correct. Yeah, they folded for a bit over COVID.
Wow.
So one interesting tidbit that you guys might not know is that our Australian player, Tyrone Bronte, is the last remaining player that played for Alabama Huntsville.
So I saw
that. One like that too.
Yeah, we had one like that too. But I saw Huntsville and I was like, holy shit. I was like, is that like what I think it is? So he when you say he's the last, was he like the last to transfer?
He's the last remaining kid that ever played at Huntsville to still be playing college hockey.
That's still playing.
He was one of the very few guys I think that did transfer at the from the last team that played, and he was a freshman, right?
Wow.
Yeah, he was a freshman.
So he can come back next year yet and play as a grad for his grad year with COVID if he wants to. But we don't really know what's going on with any of that yet. But yeah, kind of interesting.
So Tim, I did this bracket that you asked me to do.
Yeah. I don't remember who asked us to do that. Was that you, Brendan, or Anthony?
Oh, yeah. We did this with the Hockey East tournament where I was like, Anthony, make our own bracket, put our own fucking branding on it. I was like, send it around. Like,
I didn't do any branding. I don't know how to do branding.
We'll get that part done, but yeah.
it's not really branding.
but I did do a bracket.
Awesome.
So we want to run through like some.
Do you want me to share?
Do you want to do some predictions or run on chat? Just some or bring around matchups?
So what did you guys pick for I suppose I should pull up the damn bracket I sent you so I can even know.
This whole not having my other monitors while we podcast is driving me insane. I can't look up crap on a screen this small while we're podcasting. I'm used to like three big screens of stats around me, so I sound more intelligent than I actually am.
There. Yeah. So let's start in St. Louis where nobody can go. what do you guys think is going to happen in between Michigan State and Western?
Anthony, you can go. You give your predictions, and then I'll give mine.
I mean, I got Michigan State. I think Trey Augustine especially has just gotten better as the season has gone along. And then the decor has been solid all time for Michigan State. But on the other hand, I mean, the Lawson Lunatics travel well regardless. So they should play hard no matter the case. And I think that'll be a close game, but I got Michigan State.
Yeah, I also have Michigan State. I think the interesting game is North Dakota, Michigan. I think I'm on the like pretty, you know, I went back and forth for a few times, but I'm pretty confident I'm picking Michigan. I think Michigan's played really well recently, and I think North Dakota's kind of played like trash. So maybe that's a bold pick, but that's my upset, as I have Michigan beating North Dakota.
I don't think that's unreasonable. That's the first two picks I'd have out of that one as well.
Yeah, so, and I looked at it and I said, almost every year, a one seed gets knocked off in the first round. Almost every year. It's super rare that they all win the first game.
Yeah.
And I looked at the one seeds and I said, who's going to lose? Who's the best chance of losing? And I just don't see the other three losing. So I picked Western to upset Michigan State.
Fair.
Wow. Fair enough.
I don't know. So I got Western in North Dakota.
It does make some sense from the perspective of like the like Michigan State. Did they make the tournament last year? Like, this is kind of new.
They haven't been there,
right?
They haven't been there in quite a few years.
Yeah, so that's the other part of this, is they are a one seed, but they're not used to being there in any respect. So like that can play a big part of that, right?
And Western has been there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're only going to get better next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be with Dustin of picking North Dakota just because fuck Michigan.
I have North Dakota as well.
I think a Michigan State, you know, round game, watching them have to play in front of a tiny arena is just the icing on the screwball of those teams' cupcake. You know?
Yeah.
It makes me laugh.
Oh, Michigan State, yeah. North Dakota will be just as good, right?
Or, yeah. Or no, that whole regional is that. I think that's the regional of death, if you will, of all the regionals out there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, those teams are all well stacked.
I think the one thing that I like most about the bracket that we kind of talked about when we were kind of figuring out what we thought would happen is that they set it up so that none of the conferences can be the only conference at the Frozen Four. And I think that, you know, going back to the Columbus year, like they kind of really do want to avoid that if they can, even if it is sold out. Like, it's just a perception thing of like, how interesting is it to a national audience if it's all Big Ten teams or Hockey East teams?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So since Dustin brought it up that way, does anybody have a one seed losing in the other three?
I don't, mostly because
on the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, I have one seeds not making the Frozen Four, but I don't have any losing in the first round because I think, I mean, we beat the shit out of UMass, and I don't see Denver not doing the same thing. I think Denver's going to blow them out of the water. And like BU is, it's still BU. Like, we beat them like handily, but like it's BU, and it's like they're playing RIT. No offense to RIT, but RIT is not winning that game. They're just not. Yeah, I think
I'm waiting for the insult in the other game.
Well, I mean, I don't see us losing either, but I do think it's going to be a closer game than BU-RIT. At least I think so. But
it's so hard to judge because, like, it is one of those, like, 1980 Olympic-type things where, like, RIT is an experienced team that, like, they can win, like, what, 2 out of 16 times kind of thing? Like,
RIT has beaten the number one overall seed in the past.
Yeah. Like, and it's one of those things where, so like kind of like what Don Lucia was talking about when we recorded yesterday, where like the teams that come out of Atlantic Hockey, in this case Big Ten or the CCHA, like, you don't want to underestimate them because they had, like, they didn't have a choice but to win that conference tournament. So like every one of those teams, especially this year, is fighting to the bitter end. I know Joe talked about it a little bit on the show this morning, where like one of the things that, from one perspective, like part of the reason he thinks that they kind of laid an egg in the semifinals the last 2 years is because they didn't need to win those games to get in necessarily. And it's like just that It's just that, like, you just take your foot off the gas just a little bit because you didn't need to. Whereas, like, RIT and Michigan Tech have had to fight tooth and nail to get here, and they're not about to take a step back now. Not that they have the skill to match, but like we've said, like, sometimes these really good young teams, if they don't get off to a good start and they get frustrated, like, they can really kind of go into a shell and struggle to figure out how to play that style of game. And we have it on, I don't know who will ref which games or how it will actually work out, but we have it on
that
good authority.
That was off the record.
That was off the record.
Okay, fine, I'll shut up.
Yeah.
I don't have BU losing to RIT. Here's why. They just lost big in the championship, hockey's championship. But I do have them losing in the second round to Omaha.
I think, can't believe you have Omaha beating Minnesota, but we can talk about that. I guess.
I also have Omaha beating Minnesota.
Okay.
Really?
Can we transition to Sioux Falls then? But
sure.
So, I mean, I have BU beating RIT by, like, in my mind, like, three-ish goals.
They're just not going to lose two in a row. They're just not going to.
Well, I think you have a good point there where, like, BU is going to be hungry after getting crushed. Like, they're not going to take that game lightly because they lost bad and they want to show that they're better than that
you guys have seen BU a lot this year and every year.
Their
and
blue line is really experienced. They have a good goalie.
Good.
Really, I think they're the deepest forward group in the Hockey East, at least I think so.
Oh, I think they have the deepest forward group in the country, but mm-hmm. I mean, I just think BU has an incredible, I mean, I love BC and complimenting BU, like, kills my heart.
Yeah.
But, like, at the same time, like, BU is a special team, and it's like, you know, people want to point to, like, Macklin Celebrini, but there are so many other players outside of Macklin Celebrini that make that BU team what it is. So I think, like, you have to, like, I mean, I'm sure I have BU's roster right in front of me.
Yeah.
Of course I do.
There's a reason that BU and BC have been 1-2 the entire year. I think they've been obviously the two best teams in the country the entire season.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like, it's like when you look at these other guys further down on BU's roster, I still have it out because I haven't. Anthony and I collect all our rosters from the media and stuff, but I still haven't put away the BU ones from Saturday. But even if you look at these third and fourth line guys, like a guy like Luke Tuck is, like, on the fourth line, and a guy like, I don't know, even Nick Zabinet, who's not, like, the most flashy guy, but, you know, he's got 13 points in the season. He's one of the best skaters I've ever seen. He's just an incredible skater. He's not a phenomenal player, but his just, like, speed on the ice adds a lot.
He has a motor.
Yeah, he's got a motor, but and they got also these, like, really, you know, what I call them, Anthony and I have this distinction between slimy players and dirty players. Slimy players are guys who are, like, kind of rough, will stir the pot. Dirty players are objectively, like, trying to hurt the other team. So I would say that BU on these bottom two lines, Anthony, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know how well you guys know BU, but Dylan Peterson, Sam Stevens, and Devin Kaplan. I would say Sam Stevens falls in the definitely dirty. Dylan Peterson also falls in the definitely dirty. And Devin Kaplan is, like, slimy, bordering on dirty. But
the only one that's dirty is Stevens. The other two, I think, are slimy. But
okay, that's fine. But Sam Stevens is, you know, he's a dirty player, but he's also a super skilled player. He's one of those physical guys who will just get under your skin and, like, take advantage of your frustration. Like, he's just one of those guys. But I don't know. That was a long-winded answer of me saying that I think BU is such a deep team that I just don't see them losing to RIT.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong there.
So why do you guys have Omaha winning?
That's just
me. He has Omaha, not me. Don't worry.
Dustin and Anthony do.
Yeah, I have Omaha.
You have them making the Frozen Four?
No, I have BU beating Omaha.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have Omaha winning that one. I don't know why. It's not like I even have watched any of the NCDC, but I just want a Cinderella team to make the Frozen Four this year. And
Michigan Tech, baby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, in some of those games versus Denver, Omaha was impressive. I think one time they swept North Dakota. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe I have paid attention to some scores, but. Yeah, they've impressed me this year.
Omaha's come on really strong late in the season. Really, yeah. They've really turned it on. And I think Minnesota has a tendency to just lay an egg every once in a while. And like, they can play so well and then they'll come out and then it's just like, what? It's like they forgot how to play the game for a game. It's weird. And to me,
and that happens, not even just Minnesota, that happens a lot to whatever his name is, the coach and his teams, right? Like St. Cloud was notorious for doing that when he was there. Like they sometimes struggle to like show up to these games.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be a good game. I just think Minnesota has more flaws than they have in the last few years, and Omaha's on a heater. So
yeah, the one thing Minnesota got going for them is that it's Sioux Falls without North Dakota. So I would expect a pretty good Minnesota crowd this year.
Contingent there, yeah.
More than normal. And Minnesota's been sent east a lot lately too. So like getting that chance to play close to home, closest to home. What is it? It's not that far, is it? 3-4 hours.
Yeah, I can get to Sioux Falls in 3.5 hours.
Yeah. So like that's I think that helps too. But yeah, like I think Omaha is playing really well. So who knows what'll happen there? And then we got Springfield, the fun. I don't know. Denver and UMass, Maine and Cornell. What do you guys think there?
I hope UMass gets slaughtered. And Maine Cornell, Battle of the Bears. I think this is going to be one of the best first round matchups. Not the best. I think Wisconsin Quinnipiac is going to be the best first round matchup. But I think that this is going to be a good matchup. I'm going to take Cornell probably by just one goal. I think Maine had a kind of an embarrassing loss versus BU. Cornell won the ECAC, is coming off a little bit of a hot streak, even though they didn't really beat any great teams to get there. I'm going to say Cornell by a narrow margin.
So now that we can talk more publicly, Rob, I believe what they're talking about is that Buchagras specifically asked the dude that like was from the committee about why BU and RIT went west instead of being close to home. Like the dumbest question ever, because anybody that pays attention knows exactly why, because UMass is a host and they can't go to Sioux Falls and can't play UMass because they're in the same conference and only four teams from the conference made the tournament. Like following all the rules, they can't do that. So like some people were like, good job calling out the stupidity of the committee. And it's like, no, he's just asking the question because you're stupid and don't know the answer. Like he was just basically lobbing a softball because there's a bunch of people at home that don't pay attention, like that Northern Michigan beat writer that like had no idea that his team was nowhere close to making the tournament last year when they lost in the championship game. Like they're not on the bubble. There is no real, like it's math. It's not smoke filled room. Like people don't get that with hockey. So yeah. So what'd you have
just in this? My favorite part of the way the tournament gets done is that we are just math, right?
Yeah.
Us little small market schools would be screwed over by the fact that some Big Ten school is, you know, better than us for viewership and no one would ever make it.
Yeah.
That's what makes the hockey tournament awesome compared to some of the others.
But what is amazing is didn't three CCHA teams make it the COVID year?
Wow.
Yeah.
Even though we didn't have it was a smoke filled room and we still, because Lake State upset somebody, right? So Bemidji, Lake State, and Mankato all made it that year. Bowling Green got kind of screwed because they kind of fell apart at the end, even though they had a really good non conference because they were one of the few teams that actually played any non conference. But yeah. So what do you have, Dustin?
So I agree on Denver. I think Denver's going to roll over Massachusetts pretty well. Probably going to be a 2-3 goal game. Not really high stress, in my opinion. And as you guys know, my team for the year is in the other side of that bracket, Maine.
Yeah.
So just so you guys don't know the story here, but I was able to snag Maine to win a national championship in Vegas at 35-1 earlier this year
in December. In December, when they were number one in the pairwise at the time.
And I snagged them at 35-1. So I've kind of been on the Maine bandwagon just so I can win a little bit of money all season long. the odds were too good to pass up on that one. So I picked Maine for personal reasons.
I picked Maine as well.
So who's all three of you? Who do you have to go to the Frozen Four that I might get to watch in Minneapolis or St. Paul if I decide to get a ticket?
You want all four teams?
Yeah.
My Frozen Four is BC, North Dakota, Maine, and BU.
Okay.
My Frozen Four is BC, Michigan State, Denver, Minnesota.
And I got BC, Michigan State, Omaha, and Denver.
And I guess the one thing we didn't talk about was Wisconsin Quinnipiac.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the best game in the first round. I was working on convincing Anthony earlier to stay. we're going to be there anyway. We should stay and watch that game.
Of course you should.
100%. It's free hockey.
We should stay. I agree.
Yeah. I'm also driving you, so you don't have an option. But
if nothing else, to watch Mike Hastings' head turn as red as the Badger.
Yeah, jersey. Yeah. When he gets angry, his shirt will be the color of your his head will be the color of your shirt.
Yeah.
He tomatoes out real hard.
I don't know. We barely beat Quinnipiac our first game of the season, although I think we're a better team than we were then. And Wisconsin was, you know, they had that period where Buchagross went on like a Twitter tirade and was like, they should be number one. It's bullshit that they're not, whatever. So, and then they had like five bad losses in a row. So that shut them up. But yeah, I think that they're both like, I mean, they sit at 8-9, which like I think is, you know, probably accurate in terms of like what I actually think the game's going to be like. I think this might be, we might get an overtime game. For this one, but I have Quinnipiac by a really, really narrow margin.
Same here.
Yeah, I got Wisconsin. Again, narrow margin. I think that's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
Can't pick Wisconsin.
And then who do you have winning at all?
I mean, you can take a guess who we have winning. Yeah. Wild gander.
I think all three of us probably have the same champions.
So your brackets are going to be busted by 5:30 on Friday,
But you guys will all like, I did pick BUBC national championship game. Really? Just because that would be a lot of fun.
That would be insane. That would be really cool.
Oh yeah, my bracket is wrong that way now. Yeah.
I think that I don't know if I want that just because I think that BU playing us again is it's always a toss up. Like even last year when we were bad and BU was good, it's like those games are close just because it's BCBU. So it's like, I don't know. I think that would be cool, but I am kind of in the same boat as Anthony that I want BC revenge game versus Denver in the national championship. I think that that's the storyline I want to go with. I want to beat Denver.
But
we're a more mature team than we were at that point. We're not going to take any stupid fucking penalties that are going to cost us the game. So I say BC beats Denver 4-3.
That'd be a good matchup too. That'd be a lot of fun.
Either one of those matchups means I can probably afford to go to the championship game. Denver doesn't have a ton of fans and it won't be any local team. So yeah.
So you're looking at the tournament where the vast majority of the games look like they're going to be quality games too. Like, it doesn't feel like there's any big lopsided things coming, for this one.
Yeah, but did you think that we thought that last year too, right?
And we watched two of the biggest, most lopsided games ever.
Almost every game in the first round was a blowout last year.
Yeah, there was two good games and the rest was blowouts. Yeah.
Yep. No, I'm hoping this year's a little bit better of a tournament just from the watching perspective, right? To blowouts are never fun for anybody.
I mean, on paper, it sure looks like there's several games that should be really good. I hope they are, because it's always, I mean, obviously more fun to watch close games and entertaining hockey than blowouts.
Yeah, I just like watching good hockey. I mean, whether we're in it or not, this is my favorite time of year, right? It's the same thing. Everybody gets jazzed up about basketball. If I could give two shits about that, I'd much rather watch hockey.
Yeah, right? I mean, so. I feel the same way. I feel like even like watching, you know, Anthony gave me a lot of shit for this last year, but like, you know, to some extent, like, again, this is crazy and I'll get shit for this from this or this, whatever. But like, you know, I think if BC's not in it, like, I'm going to root for BU a little bit. I don't want them to win, but I want them to see he's giving me shit for it right now. no, I mean, like, I don't want them to win at all, But like, was I happy that they made the Frozen Four? Yeah, I was. Was I happy they didn't win? Yes, I was happy Quinnipiac won, just because like Rand Pecknell and that story of like him being the coach when they were the club team is like the coolest thing ever, that he like stayed coach for whatever 30 years when they went from club to Division One and won a national championship. I don't think the story gets better than that. But yeah, I don't know. I'm going to root for BU a little bit. In this year? Fuck no, because we're in it. So that's not happening. But
there you go.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
That's fair. It's always fun trying to decide those kind of things. Like I feel like as a CCHA, we really root for each other more because we're so much of it for our group is about like trying to get that national respect that we don't feel like we have. And it's hard to get it in a year like this when we all kind of sucked in non-conference and, you know, Bemidji and Michigan Tech are the only ones that finished in the top half of the pairwise. Like, and I think Bemidji was one spot above Tech. So like, it's hard to, you know, expect much respect when you have as tough a season as that.
In a season like this, when the conference as a whole performed like they did in non-conference, we don't really deserve a whole lot of respect. Like,
yeah,
there's a reason we got one team in the tournament, and it's because we sucked in non-conference. All of us did.
Hard.
Yeah. Well, but like we said a million times, it doesn't help anything that the CCHA is the third best team in the West, and we primarily play the West in non-conference because it's like they played what? 12 whole games against or what was it, like 10 games I think total, or 12 between East or ECAC and Atlantic Hockey I think, and then there was I don't remember how many they played, like maybe another 10 against Hockey East, and then they played like 40 some games against the other two, and they're really good, so it's hard to, if you don't get lucky and win some of those games that are close early, it's really hard. So anything else you guys want to say?
Well, I gotta go to bed.
Yeah, I don't.
that should do it.
I don't think we have anything else to say, but thank you. Thank you for having us on. Truly appreciate it.
Yeah, this was fun.
It's fun getting the other perspectives.
I don't know if I needed 3.5 hours of content to edit this week, but whatever. At least I got one of them done yesterday.
But yeah, no, this was cool. I woke up and saw the tweet, and I was like, I showed Anthony, I was like, oh fuck yeah, this is happening, we're gonna make this happen.
Yeah, Rob was supposed to do that research, and I was like, he's not doing it, I'm gonna find something.
Sorry for having to travel a ton.
What else are you gonna do sitting at the airport? Come on.
I slept a lot on planes today.
You guys spent like 5 hours straight together in a car on Saturday. You couldn't figure it out then.
We spent most of that time getting him to schedule the other two interviews we did.
Yeah. I was talking to Perry quite a bit.
We were trying to figure out when we could get Don Lucia and Marco on and work that all out. And then it was like, well, we should probably do the Beast. Well, we also didn't know when we left for sure yet, like, because we had St. Lawrence game hadn't happened
that's
yet.
True
so it wasn't like 100% like it was by the time you were that's on a true. plane, right? So yeah, so that's part of it, is we weren't gonna jump the gun because we'd probably be in,
and I had to figure out where to eat in Minneapolis. We'd be that in, was important research that happened for a while too.
Sioux Falls right now,
we'd be in Sioux Falls against BU if St. Lawrence would have won.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that changes CC to be in.
Yeah, I don't know. It could have changed a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. All right.
1 minute remaining in the podcast.
Well, that should do it for this episode of the Chasing McNaughton podcast. Please check out our Patreon and join by visiting patreon.com/tech hockey guide. If you're still listening to this, go to Tech Hockey Guide and find the pledge drive, and please give money so the Misfits can not spend too much of their own money to get to Providence, other than they're on their own for food, I think, is basically what we're trying to do. We've got a bunch of different levels. You get different extra content if you do it. Like our gold level, you receive unfiltered YouTube video where Brendan will say some things that he doesn't want out in the public. Follow us on Twitter at Chasing MacPod or at Tech Hockey Guide. You can submit your questions through Twitter, Facebook, or on our Patreon page. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Fibkey Dental in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. Arcadia Insurance, servicing most of the Midwest, and Livonia Technical Services. Finally, thanks to the thank you notes for all the bumpers in this week's episode. If you like what you hear, check them out at thethankyounotes.bandcamp.com.
You've been listening to the Chasing McNaughton Podcast, presented by Tech Hockey Guide, covering the Michigan Tech Huskies and the CCHA.